May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable before you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. I have not been looking forward to preaching this Sunday. Perhaps it's obvious why, to try to bring God's Word to a people that are perhaps all over the board, all over the map, with regard to our recent election. There are certainly those who may want to celebrate the victory, and there are those that have been devastated by the outcome. So the question for us is, what does it look like to be the church in the midst of all that? And that's what I want to know. Somebody's probably, maybe several somebody's are thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to get political today. I've never from the pulpit advocated any one candidate over the other. I'm certainly not going to start now. It would be a waste of effort, wouldn't it? But a lot of people are anxious this day for a lot of different reasons. My first thought is to make sure that we are clear that one of the church's priorities is ensuring the safety of all God's people. I'm not altogether sure what the kingdom of God is all about, but it is at least a safe place to be. And God's church, as it seeks to be that kingdom, establish that reign of God on earth, must be a safe place as well. Given the rhetoric of this last election cycle, there are a significant number of people who are experiencing a degree of alarm, and in some cases, legitimate fear about their physical and emotional safety, or for their family members, or their friends, or coworkers. Women, people of color, immigrants and their children, people of differing sexual orientations, people with disabilities, those who rely upon affordable health care, Muslims and other religious groups are among those who are desperately worried as the new administration comes into power. No doubt there are others who are not among those groups who have been and continue to be fearful, because so many people obviously wanted a change in the way in which our government operates. But even though folks have wanted this change desperately and have voted for it, no one's quite sure what that's going to look like. And that produces a great deal of anxiety. So, like it or not, we're in, if not the same, at least in similar boats. And those votes are occupied by people who are fearful. Some could say that this election was all about fear. Fear of one thing, one person, one party, one bit of rhetoric over another. But one thing should be clear to us as a church, and that is that no kind of hateful rhetoric or disparaging remarks about people who may indeed feel threatened. That's not to be tolerated in God's house. Because the church is called to be a place of refuge. So if you're a Christian, you're part of the body of Christ, which means that you are to refrain from that kind of talk that is hurtful to others. And that goes for when you leave this building as well. For you and I represent Christ in the world, and we must behave in a manner that reflects the one whom we worship. And this is precisely why we are called to be Christian, to preach and to minister in such a time as this, when people are distraught, distressed, and fearful. Because we're called to go into a place, even if it is a place of potential danger, a place where we may be ridiculed, or a place in which we may be rejected. We are called to carry the burden of God's people, to carry that burden safely in our hands. And that's exactly what we are to do. This is exactly the time when you are needed, even if you're feeling out of sorts or devastated, afraid. You know, the Spirit is already at work in ways that may not yet be evident to us. But it is clear that the Spirit is at work. And that whatever happens in the days and weeks and months and years to come, we will not be able to do anything apart from the God who empowers us to do miracles in His name. So I am called, and you are called with me, to be agents of healing and peace, and to use all of our skills for caregiving, for reflective listening, for empathy, and even if silent, certainly attentive presence. For many, this entire campaign and election cycle has witnessed the crumbling of the basic foundations of decency and respect and the means by which we preserve the common good. Remember the old saying, when we were children, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Well, that's rubbish, isn't it? You know, words hurt a great deal. And even if we say, well, it doesn't really mean that. Words can cause bumps and bruises that are not readily visible, but they hurt nonetheless. Folks are concerned about many things. Those who are concerned about the environment and climate change and have worked so hard to protect God's creation, the thought of that all kind of rolling backwards is disturbing. And certainly those who feel that their lives are in some ways threatened or endangered, that those rights might be stripped from them, those folks are terrified. Now, it's tempting to say, well, you know, it's just an election and somebody wins and somebody loses. But, you know, somehow it's different than the World Series. You know, it's different than that. Nobody is frightened because of who wins a ball game. And some folks just can't quite figure out how to come together just yet. I don't think you can expect or ask people who still hear words spoken during the campaign that have seemed to authorize homophobia and misogyny and xenophobia and violence, sexual violence and racism and white privilege. Nor can you expect that any person should have to justify their choice that they made in the voting booth. You know, if people voted for the candidate of their choice for various reasons, not all the same, and we cannot assume that one's alliance with that particular candidate means that they feel the same way that that candidate may be making us feel. Being a Christian during this time means giving space. That's what hospitality means, after all, to make space for another person, particularly those who are very different from us, from those even that we can't stand, from those that make us uncomfortable. Eventually, as a nation, and we will come together and have to talk about where we go from here, because we go places and we want to go together. And eventually we'll do that. But understand that this is a time of deep grief and fear, maybe for everybody. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, we've done the most important thing we could do as God's people today. We showed up. We came to worship together. One of the beauties of the Episcopal Church is, you know, you can believe in about anything you want to. You know, dinosaurs or Jesus or all of the above, none of the above, doesn't matter. But regardless of our beliefs, we believe that we can come together and worship. We can pray together. And together we're called to be faithful. You know, it may be some time before, thinking of the wolf and the lamb and the lion and the ox, the donkey and the elephant. It may be a while before the donkey and the elephant can come together and celebrate that. But, you know, as the church, we don't have the luxury. We do not have the luxury of being divided as a people of God, because we have a mission to carry forth, to reach out to those who hurt. We are called to proclaim good news to the poor. We are called to lift up those who are burdened and who are in pain, the widowed and the orphan in distress. We are called to proclaim an acceptable time of the Lord. And we do that in very unacceptable times. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right, says Paul to the church in Thessalonica. We've come together. We've come together to worship. You know, in our worship, week after week, we engage in words and in rituals that are designed to hold the vast range of emotions and experiences that we have, each and every one of us here today. And we can rely on that which is so ingrained in us, gathering together, hearing God's word, breaking bread together, and being sent out in the world as witnesses of Christ's love. Let the liturgy, let this work of God's people that we do here today, let our prayers, let this holy sacrament minister to you today. Let it gather in all who will come, and trust that the Spirit of God, through the compassion of Jesus Christ, will indeed be in our midst. Let us pray. O God, give to us strength to live another day. Let us not turn coward before its difficulties or prove recreant to its duties. Let us not lose faith in other people. Keep us sweet and sound of heart in spite of ingratitude and treachery or meanness. Preserve us from minding little stings or giving them. Help us to keep our heart clean and to live so honestly and fearlessly that no outward failure can dishearten us or take away the joy of conscious integrity. Open wide the eyes of our souls that we may see good in all things. And grant us this day some new vision of your truth. Inspire us with the spirit of joy and gladness, and make us to be the cup of salvation to suffering souls. In the name of the strong deliverer, our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.